Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I am completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for his body, that is the church. I have become its servant according to God's administration that was given to me for you to make God's messages fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, for those in Laodicea, and all for those who have not seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding, have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word, and we pray that you might be speaking to us by your Spirit and applying those words deep to our hearts. We pray that you might waken us up if there's anything we need to be awake to, and that you might grow us in Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. What's your hard time song? What's your song about overcoming things? For me, it's this one. I get knocked down. How's it go afterwards? Next line. And the next line is, I get knocked down, I get up again. What's the next? You are never going to keep me down. There's a few people who like it, but it's, I won't repeat the words after that, but it's actually a really stupid song, but it's awesome, the awesome chorus. And it's just, I get knocked down, I get up again, you're never going to keep me down. And it's the kind of thing you just can get you through the hard times, get you through something really tough. What's your hard time song? What's a song that's like your battle song, your song that will be the one that you sing? Yeah? Who's got one? Yeah. Yeah, okay, yep. Yep. There's one there. Raw, okay. That's right. That's why I'm asking you, because these are not my songs. Mine's like very old. But it might have one of these songs, and I kind of think, what's the reason to get knocked down and get up again? What's the reason to go through hardship? What's the reason to keep doing things? It could be that you're doing a particular ministry. Maybe you're leading one of the youth groups here, and it's just hard. Maybe you're trying to reach your friends at school, and they keep saying, I'm not interested in Jesus. Could you just back off? And it's hard. Why do you keep going on? Why do you keep getting back on? What about if you're in a home and you're the only Christian in your household? And for you to get up and read your Bible in the morning, you just feel like you're out of sync with everyone in your household, and it's hard. In a sense, that song is pretty good. I get knocked down, I get up again. No one's never going to keep me down. But there's a depth behind it that we're going to look at. And this passage, Paul shows us why he gets knocked down and gets up again, why he keeps going, why he endures all these things, why he does this. And in this passage, he particularly says, I rejoice in my sufferings. And later on, he says, I labor for this. I strive with the strength of Christ. And he says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have. You see, Paul actually struggles and strives and labors for those in the church. We might think of what Paul's ministry was like. When he began, I like to think of Paul's ministry as basket case ministry. Why is that? Because when Paul, he was going to the city of Damascus, he met the risen Lord Jesus. He was going to the city of Damascus to arrest Christians. He was going to cramp down the church. And when he goes there, he sees the risen Lord Jesus on the way there. He meets a man. He becomes disciple. He learns what it is to follow Christ. And he actually leaves Damascus, having preached the gospel there, in the cover of darkness, lowered out a laundry basket out the widow of the window of Damascus. And you're kind of thinking, this is a turnaround. His life was one of success and triumph and rising up. And now his ministry is basket case ministry. And Paul, when he writes this letter, is actually writing in jail. Can you just imagine being in jail? It's a horrible thought, isn't it? I bet none of you think, what I want to do when I grow up is go to jail. Maybe someone is, I don't know, but it's not normally what you sort of say, I want to do. But Paul actually is in jail, and he actually says these words, I rejoice in my suffering. It's not abstract suffering. I'm rejoiced that I'm in jail. I rejoice. I actually want you to know how great a struggle I have, and I'm doing it for Christ's sake. And I get knocked down and I get up again, and I actually do it for you. Look what he says. I rejoice in my suffering for you. You Colossians, these people I haven't even met yet. I want you to know the second paragraph, the great struggle I have for you. I want you to know that he's actually filling up in my flesh what's lacking in regards to Christ's affliction. It's like Christ is the suffering king of the universe and Paul is following his master, suffering, just like Jesus did, but suffering for you. And in fact, he's so much suffering for Jesus that he's continuing the work of Jesus on this earth. And he's suffering and struggling, the second paragraph, for those in Laodicea and all those who haven't met in person. Who would you struggle for? You might struggle for those in your youth group here. You might struggle for the burden on your heart for those in your class at school. You might even pray regularly for your mum, for her sake, because you love her. Paul is struggling with people he hasn't even met. This is an amazing thing that keeps him going. And Christ is the answer to you and to me. You see, Paul, what it is that motivates him is all of Jesus. It's a crazy thing that he could be in jail and say, it's not just okay that I'm in jail, but I'm actually rejoicing that I can go to jail as long as the gospel's going further in the world because of it. And he actually says here, I'll just pick it up from verse 25, I'm becoming the servant of the gospel according to God's administration given to me to make God's message fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to the saints. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles, that's the nations, the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But what Paul wants to get out there is a mystery, literally a secret. And this is like the secret that the world needs to know, which is that Christ is the answer. And Christ is the answer, not just for the Jewish people, for the whole world. And Paul can be this happy man in jail. He can be this contented man lowered down out of a basket. He can be someone who gets beaten up and people throw stones at him and gets kicked out of town after town because the secret's getting out that God has a message of love for all people. I think this is very encouraging and inspiring, actually, to think about Paul doing this, right? Because if we do things in our situations, we want to serve Christ in our situations when we don't face that hardship. What is that? That is kind of like training for if we ever do face this kind of hardship. The battle for Paul is a battle of struggle on the outside. But for most of us, the battle for us is a struggle on the inside. The thing that stops us keep serving Christ and wanting that message to go out is actually, for most of us, we're not up to this stage yet of the battle on the outside. Most of us is a battle on the inside. For us just to fight ourselves and just make sure Christ is first. Look at this beautiful way as he puts it. This is probably like the key verse. You can almost have this as your motto, as your aim for a ministry, which we want to proclaim Jesus, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we would present everyone mature in Christ. That's Paul's vision. And so Paul can be in jail. Paul can suffer a lot of things and think, I don't care. my situation because I want people to stand firm in Christ. And then later in this section, he talks about Christ's answer. He says, I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love so they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery. That's God's secret, Christ. God's got this secret for the world to now know Christ, Jesus Christ. And all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. He's saying that everything valuable, that's wisdom, hope, glory, all these things, they're all hidden in Christ, and we need to have that treasure. You see, this is a treasure we carry like a little box with us. You know, each of us has this little treasure in a box that we carry around, and it's this treasure that keeps us going. This treasure that says, I've got Christ with me, which means that I can go through the hardest times. I've got Christ with me, which means that in my family, I might be the only one who's a Christian. But I'm not the only one because I've got Christ. It could mean that I do a ministry that no one else sees, but you know what? Christ sees it. It could be I'm doing something that is really, really hard, and I'm facing opposition at school, but Christ is with me. And I'm carrying in this box a treasure of infinite value that's like a secret that the world needs to see. If only they would understand and have the eyes to see the glory of Christ in the goodness of God in the gospel. And Christ is the reason to get up again. He rejoices in his sufferings. He does all this for their sake. But Christ is also the strength. Let's just come to that last verse there. He says, I labor for this, striving with all of Christ's strength, with all of his strength, which works so powerfully in me. One of the reasons Paul can face any difficulty he faces, one of the reasons he can start off his ministry being lowered down in a basket, he could carry on his ministry facing shipwreck, in danger on the road, in danger in the country, that he can be beaten when he goes and preaches the gospel, that he can go from town to town. One of the reasons he can even be in jail, for crying out loud, he's writing this letter in jail, is that he actually sees that it's Christ's strength working in him in all this. See, I reckon it's good to have a song. I like the song. I get knocked down, I get up again, you're never going to keep me down. I think it's good to have a song like that. And that's the kind of song you can have in your head. I've no problems having the song in your head. But Paul has a reason for that song in his head. Paul has a reason he can say, I get knocked down, no one's going to keep me down. Because of Christ in him. He's carrying around the greatest treasure in the world and trying to share it. And whatever he does, if he can live for the sake of other people, then he feels at peace. I just want to just suggest one thing. I think sometimes we think that things are right and good, and we're kind of fulfilling our potential as a Christian when we're at peace and nothing is wrong. Paul would actually kind of say here the opposite. Paul would actually say when he's going through hardship and trouble for the sake of other people, that's when he's most like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross before he took on the crown. Sometimes as Christians, we want the crown without that cross. But Paul could say, I'm so glad that I go through the cross. I actually suffer on behalf of other people because I know I'm going to get the crown, but also because I'm doing it for their sake. So for us, maybe just a couple of things to think about. Don't analyze the things in your life and work out whether it's all good by how easy and comfortable you are. That won't show you whether you're doing the right thing. Sometimes the right thing is actually the hardest thing. Sometimes the right thing to do is actually the most costly thing. And secondly, rejoice when you can do the right thing for the sake of others. And even if there's a cost involved. Because you're like Paul, who's like Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that we can get knocked down and we can get up again and no one's going to keep us down. Father, thank you that that's a silly song, but it's got a deep truth. But particularly when we come to Christ, we can see how that's how there's a reality to it. That we can suffer for the sake of Jesus, that we can do difficult things. We might be the only Christian in our family. Pray for that person here. We might be trying to talk to our friends about Jesus and they are not interested at the moment. And we're tempted to give up. That we're doing a ministry, maybe a kids ministry or a youth ministry that's really hard. Father, I pray that you give us insight like Paul, that we could rejoice even in the hard times, knowing that Christ is the answer. We pray this in his name. Give us the strength. Amen.